Welcome to the Great Detectives Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net. You can send a donation with the Zelle app to box13 at greatdetectives.net. And you can mail in a donation to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. And become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Send in a donation for as little as $2 per month. That's over at patreon.greatdetectives.net. All right, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date, March the 13th of 1949, and this one is the St. Louis Blues.
Time now for Rocky Jordan. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Café Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's story, the St. Louis Blues.
I was trying to wake up over a second cup of coffee in my Café Tambourine, glancing through the morning paper. A picture on the front page didn't mean much at first, but a second look and I recognized the face. It was Ted Polansky, an old friend. I hadn't seen him since the early days in St. Louis. The printing underneath brought me wide awake. U.S. naval hero found lying near the Mahoudeh Canal with knife in back, victim of an attempted murder. Victim seemed unable to identify assailant. No relatives or friends to be found. Polansky was taken to the Cairo General Hospital. Well, maybe I was just curious, or maybe I wanted to recall old times. Anyhow, I went to the hospital right away to see Polansky. The nurse showed me into a hot little room that had an overhead fan. I found Polansky's bed behind a screen. Hello, Ted. Rocky Jordan, remember me?
I remember you.
It's been a long time, Ted.
All right, it's been a long time. What about it?
Well, I'm just sorry you didn't look me up when you came to Cairo. I'd have warned you they play rough with knives around here.
I don't need your help. You're the cops or anybody else. What do you want with me?
Well, not a thing, Ted.
Then leave me alone.
Listen, Ted, I know my way around Cairo a little. I don't know what this is all about, but somebody tried to kill you. Maybe if you told me...
Why don't you mind your own business? I've got nothing to tell you.
Okay, if you don't want to.
Am I asking you why you left St. Louis?
We'll skip that.
Then shut up about me. Just leave me alone. Get out of here.
That suits me fine, Polansky.
Don't bother to come back.
I took a good long walk to cool off. Ted Polansky had changed a lot, and that was his affair. That's what I told myself. So I tried shaking him out of my mind. Too many times you try remembering things, and then you get hurt. I was behind the bar at the Tambourine early that afternoon when I had a visitor. And for the second time that day, my mind went into reverse. She was American, smartly dressed, but not too much, with just a touch of plateen and a soft, clean face like something I'd known before.
Mr. Jordan, I'm Mrs. Saunders, Cora Saunders.
What can I do for you, Mrs. Saunders?
I believe you were at the hospital this morning to see Ted Polansky.
That's right.
I'd like to ask a favor of you, Mr. Jordan.
Look, before you go any further, I'll tell you I don't know who tried to kill him or why. I just happened to drop in and see him, that's all.
You're a friend of his?
I was once, back in St. Louis.
I'm from St. Louis, too.
Well, lots of people are.
I'm sorry I'm bothering you, but I've got to know about Ted.
Why?
I was once his wife.
Sit down, Mrs. Saunders.
Thank you.
Why not go and talk to him?
I wanted to. I've been trying all day to see him, but he won't talk to me.
What makes you think he'd talk to me?
I was hoping he would, Mr. Jordan. Ted and I were very happily married before the war, but the war seemed to change him.
Yeah, wars have a way of doing that.
I don't know what it was. Maybe it was that episode in the Mediterranean, but Ted never came home to me and our child, Linda. That was 5 years ago. I've never seen him since.
Maybe you ought to keep it that way.
I was able to trace him for a while, the Riviera, Casablanca, Alexandria, but it was as though Ted had turned his back on everyone who had ever meant anything to him before. I couldn't wait forever. I divorced him and married Evan.
All right, you got a husband. Why don't you forget about Polanski?
You know things aren't that easy.
Yeah. Did you come to Cairo to see Ted?
Oh, no, Mr. Jordan. My husband is here on business. He's in textile. He's here to organize a company, a new cotton process, I believe. I had no idea Ted was here until I saw the paper. Mr. Jordan, would you please get Ted to let me talk to him?
Oh, sorry, lady. I don't have any drag in that direction.
Oh, but Mr. Jordan...
Polanski doesn't want to see me, and I don't want to see him. Let's keep it that way.
Please, think it over, Mr. Jordan. I'll be back later this evening. I'm certain that what I'm trying to do is best.
Well, I watched Cora leave and tried to wash the thing out of my mind. But somehow I kept thinking of Polanski and kept wondering what would make a guy foul up his life. Trading a sweet little number like Cora and a kid for a knife in the back. Well, my day had been ruined already, so I knocked off and went over to the U.S. Embassy to ask the naval attaché a few questions.
Well, there's plenty here on the files about Polanski. Not that I have to look it up.
You mean he's been in Cairo before?
Yeah, off and on. You say you knew him back in the States?
Quite a while ago. What do you got on him?
Yeah, here we are. Sit down, Jordan.
Thanks.
Now, let's see. Theodore Robert Polanski, Lieutenant Junior Grade. Decorated March 7th, 1945. Heroism over and above the call of duty. Delayed parachute jump from burning reconnaissance plane to save valuable photographs which enabled Allies to advance on a broad front at minimum loss of life.
Anything wrong with that?
For a guy like Polanski, yes. Got too loaded down with medals. He cracked up under the strain.
I still don't get it.
Well, look at it this way, Jordan. Polanski's just a nice guy from the Middle West with a wife and kid. He goes off to war and suddenly he's a hero. Headlines everywhere, big shots hanging ribbons on him, dames with soft shoulders falling all over him.
Went Hollywood, you might say.
Well, that's the way we figured it. He began to like it too much, so now he's a celebrity.
Couldn't he be forced to go back home?
We tried. But when a guy gets that big, he can pull strings. Oh, his wife almost drove us nuts for a while. But she's lucky to be rid of him. He's gone from bad to worse, knocking around in scrapes with the police, women, and now they find him on the streets with a knife in his back.
Yeah, that brings me up to date. You got any idea why someone would try to kill him?
I don't follow him that closely.
Well, thanks. I'll be seeing you. Well, I left the U.S. Navy going through a racing form of some sort and went out into the street. One of the big questions the naval attaché couldn't answer, why the knife in Polanski's back? I was working on that, walking up the Sharia Nauru, scouting for a taxi, when a shiny red car with plenty of chrome pulled up to the curb. The back door opened just a little.
Step over, Jordan.
I knew the native in front with a gun was covering for the voice that came at me from the back seat. The voice must have had a face, but I couldn't see it. All I saw was a shoe wearing spats and a hand filing fingernails.
Been keeping busy, Jordan?
With my business?
Maybe I don't like your business.
Forget it, then.
Wait, Jordan.
We going somewhere?
That all depends.
Well, let me know when you decide.
That's up to you, Jordan. You've been having a lot of conversations today.
I know a lot of people.
Like Ted Polanski?
Maybe.
You had quite a talk with him at the hospital. All sorts of questions.
He's an old friend.
Polanski's got no friend.
I'm way ahead of you.
What did he tell you?
Nothing.
Let's keep it that way. He don't want you talking to him. Neither do I.
About what?
Keep away from him, Jordan. Stop asking people questions that don't concern you.
If I don't?
You know what'll happen. Come here, Jordan. Little closer.
Yeah?
Here's a sample.
He gave the door a quick shove right into my face. I went back and down like a kingpin in a bowling alley. My breath was gone, and for a second I couldn't move. When I got my eyes open again, there were a million sleek red cars pulling away from the curb. Cars that finally narrowed to one and roared down the street and out of sight. And I knew right then and there, Ted Polansky was a hot article.
You are listening to the St. Louis Blues, tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. The day of miracles is not done, and one way to work miracles today without leaving your home is to contribute to your Red Cross. Your contribution will go out doing the yeoman's service to your fellow humans that you would like to do yourself but cannot. Your contribution will perform miracles of aid for the homeless, the wounded, the hungry. Send your contribution out today to work miracles. And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan, the St. Louis Blues.
When I learned an old St. Louis friend named Ted Polansky turned up in the hospital after a knifing, he didn't want to see me or anybody else, including his former wife. That was the end of the line for me, till a man with a homemade manicure and spats moved in and warned me to lay off Polansky. Advice like that just doesn't sit well with me. I was back at the tambourine patching up my face when Chris told me I had company. When I came down, I spotted him at one of the tables. Slightly bald, friendly face. Before he introduced himself, I knew who he was. Cora's husband, Evan Saunders, St. Louis.
Mr. Jordan, being frank about my personal affairs isn't easy for me.
Well, then maybe we can just have a drink.
Why, yes, of course, thank you. Straight, if you don't mind.
Couple straight, Chris.
Mr. Jordan, you'll pardon me if I come right to the point.
First, I'd better tell you that your wife was here ahead of you.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm here. Cora keeps nothing from me.
She tell you why?
About Ted Polansky. Mr. Jordan, I don't want Cora to see that man.
She seems to have ideas of her own. Oh, thanks, Chris. Send him down.
Then you must understand. Cora's gone through too much already. Waiting all those months.
Look, if you're worried about Polansky, you can forget it.
No, it's Cora, Mr. Jordan. I've always known that she was never quite able to close the chapter. Never quite sure.
She thinks a lot of you.
But it's not the same, and I know. I was well aware that she married me, not out of love, but because she needed a home for herself and her child. That was all right for me, Mr. Jordan. I loved her deeply enough for both of us. And we've had a good life.
I'm not arguing.
Now I found it necessary to come to Cairo on business, organizing a new corporation, Revolutionary Cotton Process.
Yeah, she told me that, too.
And now we run across that man again, stirring up all those old memories. I know you're an old friend of Polansky's, and that you've talked to both him and Cora. And I'll not stand for any meddling.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Mr. Jordan, I'll not stand by and allow you to bring them two together again. He has no right to her. There's something good about our marriage. And I tell you, Mr. Jordan, I'm willing to fight to protect it.
You better take that drink, Mr. Saunders.
Yes, yes, of course. Sorry, Mr. Jordan. You understand, I feel very strongly about this. I'll protect her against that man at all costs.
After I got rid of Evan Saunders, I broke my rule and had another straight one during business hours. The more I thought about it, the more I thought Saunders had a point. So I was off again on my way to the Cairo hospital. This time I didn't wait for the nurse to show me in. I got to Polansky's bed and drew aside the screen.
I told you not to come back, Rocky.
Maybe I didn't hear you. I've been talking to some people, Ted. One of them is Cora. Or don't you remember?
I can forget her.
Sure, but she doesn't find it so easy.
Get out of here.
Not yet. Lousing up your life's your own business, Ted. But this concerns Cora. She's got a good thing with Saunders. Best thing you can do is have it out with him and wash yourself out of their lives.
Rocky, what do you know about me?
Enough. Being a hero made you too good for her. A bunch of medals and headlines meant more to you than a wife and child.
You think so? Rocky, I'm going to tell you something I've been living with for the past 4 years. Maybe it's time I unload.
I'm listening. Ted Polanski lay back in his bed, closed his eyes, and turned his face away. Finally, he started talking.
You despise me, Rocky, but not as much as I despise myself. But believe me, I've always loved Cora. That's why I could never go back to her. You see, I'm not a hero. I never was.
It's not the way the papers got it.
Sure, sure. Heard the same story every time somebody pinned a medal on me. I risked my life to save top draw photographic information from a burning plane. Delayed parachute jump. Want to know why I delayed that parachute jump, Rocky?
Go on, Ted.
Because my parachute was torn to shreds. The other guy on the plane was wounded. So I took his parachute. He died in a crash. I parachuted to safety. I killed him, Rocky, as sure as I'm lying here. Now you got it all.
Yeah.
Somehow I couldn't go back to Cora and the kid knowing in my own mind I'd kill somebody. You know how I spent my time since then. Bumming around. I was never going back because I just wasn't right for her. All I knew was that the best thing to do was to keep away from Cora. But now it's not so easy.
What do you mean?
Her life's not what you think it is. That husband of hers, Evan Saunders, a big cotton man's a crook. He's rotten crooked, and so's that phony corporation he's setting up.
Where'd you get that?
That's what's behind that knife in my back. He's in with a crumb named Vance Marco.
Shiny car, Westpac.
That's a guy. They're promoting a phony cotton refining process, starting a company selling a lot of stock, and after enough money comes in, Saunders and Marco pull out with their pockets full.
How do you know all this?
Because there was a third guy in the organization, Ted Polanski. Only I pulled out when I found out that Saunders was Cora's husband. I hoped I could stop the deal before Cora got hurt. All I stopped was Marco's knife. Now I'm flat on my back and can't do a thing.
But there wasn't anything to keep Rocky Jordan from doing something. I wasn't flat on my back yet. So I started out spoiling for trouble. And I didn't mind when a native started tagging me after I left the hospital. It was the same one who had covered me with a gun in Marco's car earlier that day. So I let him follow for a while. I took him down a dark side street a couple of blocks. Then I suddenly doubled back and he ducked into a doorway. This was a good time to let him make his move, so I kept coming. I reached the doorway. There was the flash of a knife, but I wasn't there. I had him by the wrist, twisting it back.
I killed the kid, my flunker.
Drop that knife or I'll slap your brains against this wall. Come on, drop it. There now. Let's talk.
No. Let me go.
That the knife he used on Polanski?
No, I do not know what you mean.
Polanski knows. He got a good look at you.
He told you?
Yeah, everything.
Well, but it was an order.
Sure, Vance Marco's order. He sent you to get me, too?
Effendi,
where do I find Marco?
I cannot tell.
Think real hard. Come on.
Yes. The Athens Hotel, Sharia Rakim.
Yeah, it's better.
But, Effendi, what will I do? Marco, here.
Ah, never mind. Where you're going, you'll get all the protection you need. I dragged him back down to the square and turned him over to a cop, along with a message to Captain Sam Sabaya. Then I was on my way to the Athens Hotel. Vance Marco had a big suite on the fourth floor front. I was about to knock when the door opened. Marco was inside with a couple of his men, and coming out was Evan Saunders.
Well, Mr. Jordan, I didn't expect to see you here.
Oh, I bet you didn't, Saunders.
Mr. Marco, it's been a pleasure. I'll see you in my suite at the National Hotel tomorrow morning.
Goodbye, Mr. Saunders.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Jordan.
Yeah.
I still don't like your face, Jordan.
You did your best to change it.
I was just giving you a friendly tip. It didn't take, did it?
I forget easy. You got a couple of muscles for help. Want to try again?
Maybe I will. What's on your mind, Jordan?
Great big deal, Marco. With a lot of little investors pouring their money into a phony corporation.
Either one of you guys know what Jordan's talking about?
Got it, Marco. Polanski told me everything. What happens to those investors when they find out they bought into nothing? A new cotton process nobody can produce.
Why ask me?
Or better yet, what happens to you and Saunders? The police aren't going to like it.
Let them talk to Saunders. He's on top of the deal. President. chairman.
Yeah, how do you fit in?
Me? I just helped out a little on the financial end.
Yeah. It always works, doesn't it, Marco?
Hasn't failed yet. What's your interest, Jordan? Trying to cut in?
I'm giving you a chance to call it off. Well, you got the chance.
Sorry, Jordan. Cooperation's closed. Anything else?
Yeah, a lot more.
Well, I don't want to hear it. Throw him out, boy.
Sure, boss. Come on, Junior.
And don't come back, Jordan. Next time we drop you down the elevator shaft.
I picked myself up and got out the back way just in case he had somebody waiting for me. Well, even though I knew the deal, Marco felt pretty safe. I figured there was more to it than what I'd worked out. When I got back to the tambourine, it was almost 7 o'clock, and Cora Saunders was waiting.
I haven't changed my mind, Rocky.
Okay, Cora. I think Ted's ready to talk to you.
You've seen him again?
Yeah.
Please tell me, how is he?
I think Ted Polanski's gonna be all right.
Thank you, Rocky.
Cora?
Yes?
How well did you know your present husband before you married him?
Well, I didn't know him so long before I married him. I met him in a summer resort where I was waiting tables.
Oh, what I mean is, what did you know about him personally?
All I know is he's been very, very good to me and my child. He's a wonderfully kind man, Mr. Jordan.
How about this cotton deal he's in?
Oh, he has great hopes for it. Evan thinks it'll make a lot of money and help a lot of people. Why do you ask, Rocky?
Oh, no, just curious. You better go talk to Ted.
What are you trying to tell me?
Visiting time's 8 o'clock. Ted'll be waiting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rocky, maybe you could come along.
Oh, sorry, Cora, but I'm going to be real busy. I walked Cora to the front of the tambourine and saw that she got a taxi. Then I caught one for myself. I wanted to see Evan Saunders just once more before he pulled out for St. Louis. At the National Hotel, I got Saunders' room number and went on up without being announced. I found his door open. Saunders was there, pacing the floor.
Oh, Mr. Jordan, come in.
Yeah, that's my plan, Saunders.
Where's Cora? Where's my wife, Mr. Jordan?
You're real worried about Cora, aren't you?
Don't evade my question, Mr. Jordan. She went back to your cafe this evening. I have her message.
She tell you where she was going from there?
That's what I'm asking you. I demand to know where my wife is.
Where she is at this minute, I don't know. But in another hour, she'll be at the Cairo General Hospital, talking to Ted Polanski.
Mr. Jordan, I told you I don't want her to see that man.
Now tell me why.
I explained that to you. I made it perfectly clear. He's hurt Cora enough.
Any other reason, Saunders?
Isn't that enough?
Try it my way. You don't want her to talk to Polanski because you're afraid of what he might tell her. Why, he got that knife in his back, for instance.
What happened to him has nothing to do with
it. Got it, Saunders. Happens Polanski told me everything.
What did he tell you?
Everything. The phony corporation you and Marco were setting up. Now, he moved in to spike the deal before Cora got wind of it, so you had to get rid of him.
Mr. Jordan, I don't understand what you're talking about.
I think you do. Didn't you wonder what I was doing at Marco's place a while ago?
Certainly not. Why should I?
He admitted the whole deal. The investors have been taken for every cent they put into your crooked racket.
I don't believe Marco said any such thing.
Ask him.
Get me Mr. Vance Marco at the Athens Hotel. I'll wait. Yes, thank you. Vance Marco just checked out of the Athens Hotel. No forwarding address.
Looks like you're on the griddle, buddy.
Mr. Jordan, I'm not a swindler. I've been taken in by Marco just
like... That's a pretty good act.
It's not an act. I'm innocent and I can prove it.
Well, Evan Saunders started out to prove his innocence and prove that my thinking had been wrong. Mine and Ted Polanski's. He made another phone call, and then we went over to a building on Abraham Pasha Square. We went through a door marked Allenby and Allenby, attorneys. Allenby, number one, was there waiting, and Saunders told him the whole story.
I said this is a beastly affair, Mr. Saunders, beastly.
I brought Mr. Jordan here, Mr. Allenby, to prove that I couldn't possibly have profited by the venture.
Well, under the circumstances, perhaps it's wise. I have a folder here. Yes. Here you are, Mr. Jordan. This is a duplicate, of course. The original is being filed.
Just give me the quick once-over, Mr. Allenby. What's it all about?
Well, with this document, Mr. Evan Saunders hereby assigns and grants all funds and income from his share of the Cotton Processing Corporation to charitable organizations, Association for the United Nations, the International Red Cross.
Wait a minute.
And what?
Saunders was to receive nothing from the corporation?
Oh, absolutely nothing.
Mr. Jordan, I hope you're convinced now that I was acting in good faith.
Mr. Saunders could have had no possible motive for promoting a crooked venture such as this.
Just a second, Allenby.
Yes?
Why didn't you know it was a phony? You're the attorney.
Oh, not for the corporation, Mr. Jordan.
Vance Marco had that all set up with his own men. And he set it up very well. I was made president. My name was put on everything. And I'm left holding the bag. Right, Allenby?
Frankly, you are in a bit of a pickle, Mr. Saunders. Your reputation will suffer and all that.
No, I'll not have that. I'll repay every cent to the investors out of my own pocket. Clear up this mess as soon as possible.
Well, it sort of makes things look a little different.
Forget it, Jordan. We all make mistakes.
Going, Mr. Jordan?
Yeah. I got some clearing up of my own to do. It wasn't yet 8 o'clock, and I had to talk with Ted Polanski just once more. I got to the hospital a few minutes before visiting hours started, and Cora Saunders hadn't arrived yet. It took a little convincing, but I got to Polanski's bedside right away, and I talked fast. I made him see that Saunders was okay, that he was a good husband for Cora and good father for their daughter, that if Cora had a chance for happiness, it was up to Ted. And it was 8 o'clock, and Cora was standing at the foot of his bed, her face pale and tight.
Hello, Ted.
Hello, Cora.
How are you feeling?
All right. Cora, I'm glad you came. There are some things we can clear up.
I'll wait outside.
No, Rocky. That's not necessary. This won't take long. Cora?
Yes?
I want you to know I'm glad you married Saunders.
Oh, but Ted...
The thing that bothered me was that I left your flat with no one to take care of you.
Take care of me. Is that all I meant to you? Somebody to be taken care of?
Yes.
But I was your wife, mother of your daughter. What about her?
I'm sorry, Cora. The child was just a weight around my neck, too. I stopped loving you long ago. Going away to war was just a good excuse for getting away. After it was over, I just couldn't go back to you.
Well, I guess there isn't much you can do when there's no love left. I'm just sorry it took so long for me to find this out.
Well, now you know. I never felt so good as when I left you in St. Louis.
Thanks, Ted.
Thanks for what?
I never realized until this moment how fortunate for me it was that you did leave. I see now how lucky I was to find a man like Evan. He's a strong man and an honest one. And he loves me and our child like you never could. Oh, goodbye, Ted. I don't think there's anything more we have to say.
Goodbye, Cora.
Goodbye, Rocky. I won't be bothering you anymore about Ted Polanski.
So long, Cora. Have a nice trip back to St. Louis.
Well, Rocky, how did I do?
Okay.
She'll be all right now, won't she?
I think so, Ted. In fact, I'm sure of it.
Thanks, Rocky.
After a while, I left him. Later that night, I found out that Marco had been picked up boarding a plane at the Cairo airport. There wasn't much they could do to him about the phony cotton deal. He kept his nose pretty clean. But his knife man had talked, so they salted Marco away for the attempted murder of Ted Polanski. Before I turned in that night, I checked back on my day. Pretty unusual. Not a single dead body. I felt real good about it.
It's CBS again at this same time next week for another story of adventure and intrigue when we take you back to Cairo and the Cafe Tambourine run by Rocky Jordan. Jack Moyles plays the title role with tonight's story by Gomer Kuhl and Larry Roman. Rocky Jordan is produced and directed by Cliff Howell with original music by Richard Arant. Larry Thor speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, a solid dramatic twist, and in many ways this felt almost more drama than mystery with the whole plot involving the ex-wife and the new husband. This show uses a plot device, I think, that we don't hear as much in modern drama, where a person, in the name of doing what is good for a person they care about, pretend to absolutely hate and despise this person so that they will go off in a better direction and move on with their lives. I think we've become a little bit more aware over the years that this will not usually have a good effect, particularly when it's a close relationship. I remember one episode of the TV series Decoy that I watched with my wife, where the heroine urged a father to pretend to hate his son so that his son would not follow in his footsteps. And so the father was just absolutely ruthlessly cruel in what he said. And they ended the show in 1958 thinking that, well, we've now made sure that this kid is not going to be on his road to a life of crime. However, as a modern person watching it, Andrea felt traumatized on behalf of the boy in question. So we don't do that as much. It's a well-intentioned bit of drama, but doesn't usually work out nearly so well in real life. On another note, I have to say that I'm glad that Jay Novello managed to draw a paycheck for this week's episode, even though Sam Sabaya wasn't in it. Now to listener comments and feedback. And have a review on IMDb from M. Wolf, who writes over at imdb.com. Adam knows his stuff, and he generally unearths some high-quality recordings of great shows. I've found some new favorites because he doesn't just stick with famous radio detectives, but unearths a lot more obscure shows that are out there. Well, thank you so much for leaving me that review on IMDb.com, the Internet Movie Database. And I've mentioned it before, Great Detectives of Old Time Radio is now listed there. So if you want to review both the episode as well as the series as well as a favorite episode, you can do that over on that site. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie, and then next Wednesday we'll be back with another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net, follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.